persons anticipated on the agenda are present and can hear me. Members, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Vice Chair Jeff Harris.
Here.
Member Diane Dodaro.
Yes.
Staff, when I call your name, please respond in the affirmative. Health Director Kathleen Liberty.
Yes.
Health Agent Janie McNeil.
Yes.
Public Health Nurse
Alicia Sullivan.
Here.
And Regional Inspector Carrie Winter.
Here.
Awesome. And just so that everybody knows, we are taping for Franklin Matters.
Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio.
Franklin Public Radio. And last time we kind of had a lot of mini discussions all at the same time. We need to try and limit that and have one person talk at a time. Let's see. We have no one participating remotely. Citizens' comments. I don't believe we have any citizens, so I'm going to avoid that unless, Steve, if you have a citizen comment, you can express your view for 3 minutes.
Thanks for the recognition, but nothing today.
Okay.
Good work.
Awesome. All right, so we have approval minutes. The first one is from March 4th, 2026.
I make a motion to accept the minutes from March 4th.
Is there a second?
I second that.
Is there any discussion?
No.
All right, so let's vote. Jeff, how do you vote?
Yes.
Diane? Yes. And Kim votes yes as well. Our second set of minutes is from March 18th, 2026.
I make a motion to accept the minutes from March 18th.
Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Any discussion?
No.
Jeff, how do you vote?
Yes.
Diane?
Yes.
Yes. And Kim votes yes as well. All right, so there's new business, a public health advisory at Chilson Beach notice.
Yep. So DEP came to our tech review meeting a couple of weeks ago regarding a Superfund site that they've been working on over at, didn't write it down. Superfund site at, So anyways, because there was a rubber factory that leached PFAS into the water at Chilson Beach, they advised that we put up this public health advisory. If you want to know more about where it is in Superfund, I'll find that all out for you. But I didn't want to not tell you about it because it does say it's issued by the Town of Franklin Board of Health. So it's going to be at, they're posted already at the beach entrance, the trail, and the boat ramp. This is a catch and release only advisory. The fish actually, they absorb more PFAS than a human does. And so eating it would be, you know, pretty detrimental to your health. So I would imagine because this rubber factory leached PFAS into the water for years and years that this will probably stay as a public health advisory.
There was also a dump across the street, so
yeah.
Who knows what's leaching from all that.
In a Superfund site is when something like this happens and the soil is contaminated and DEP will come in with their own funds and they'll start to, they hire a company to come in and start to clean that process. But once it's leached into the water, there's really nothing.
Is that the one that is on Pleasant Street? Is that Chilson?
300 Fisher.
300 Fisher.
Oh, okay. Just past the DPW.
Yeah. So feed them on, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you see these or anyone questions you about it, you know it's just catch and release and you know it's to eat.
What says here, limit one fish a meal a month. So that's not catch and release. That's catch and eat.
Unless you're under 12 nursing pregnant or maybe 12.
It says all other people, you can limit yourself to one meal a month.
So only the guys can eat it.
Oh my God.
No. No. Any questions about that?
No.
They still
change
gonna let
the
people
sign.
Swim?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I don't think we absorb it like a fish does. So unless you feel later on down the road we should address swimming in it.
What about if someone swallows?
Kids kids swallow a lot of water when they swim.
It still doesn't absorb into a human like it does a fish. And I, that was a long presentation, so I can't really get into that. But for the most part, we close the beach down for E. coli. That's our biggest worry for the public. And that happened a few times last year. E. coli.
How often is this water tested?
Weekly.
Just during the beach season.
Yeah.
Weekly.
Ginny goes down, or whoever's here, the lifeguard actually goes into the water, catches the water, and then we contract with the lab and we'll test it.
And it's still testing high for this?
So we don't test PFAS, we test E. coli. Yeah. This is all DEP's recommendation for us to do. We're not alone. I noticed on Shrewsbury, the Lake Winsig. I know Hudson had a huge problem with PFAS. The times that we really have to worry about it is if it's near well water, but we don't, or if it's drinking water or something like that. Here, we just want to make sure that people are aware of what's going on.
Makes sense.
We'll never get rid of PFAS.
Oh, it doesn't dissipate?
We won't ever. They're still making products with PFAS.
Oh, there's a long list.
But in the water itself, it won't dissipate. It's always going to be in that water.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
They're forever. They're called like forever chemicals.
Yeah.
They're very hard to break down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It is. All right, so moving on. Go ahead, Kim.
So next on our agenda, we have the draft regulations on the novel intoxicating products or substances regulation discussion. Which, thank you for drafting this for us. It was very, very nice.
I have to fix that.
I don't know if anyone has any comments or questions. I had a couple, but.
Why don't you start with yours?
Well, I was looking at, so one thing is, under the business agent, you talk about only adult use marijuana establishments, but wouldn't it be for any of these places, or is it covered because you have the retail ones, which are the store, the kiosk, et cetera? But on the, I think it's the second page on the very top, any adult use marijuana establishment. But would it also be any of these other, like smoke shops, vape shops, in addition to marijuana?
Yeah. That's a good catch, Kim. I'll change that.
Okay.
Include what we have in town. Yeah, all tobacco retailers, smoke shops, maybe retail establishments as well. So yeah, I'll definitely make change to that.
The other part that I really like under enforcements and penalties that it does say shall, which from having that tobacco stuff in the past, shall basically means it is what it is, and we can't back down from this or you know, give them a pass on fines and stuff like that. But when I was looking at the fines, I was wondering if we can increase the fines and maybe for the first offense, stay with the 300, maybe second offense, go to 500, third offense, go to 750, and the subsequent offense, go up to $1,000. That's reasonable.
I have no problem with it. I think, to curb these people from selling it.
So 300, 500, 750, and 1,000?
Yes.
Okay. And are you agreeable with the 3-day, 30-day, and suspension and possible revocation?
Yeah.
So keep in mind with the revocation, that would be an entire retail store, that would be a smoke shop, that would be cigars and more, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, be prepared because this is going to be an uphill battle getting this off the shelf in all of my tobacco stores, and I believe we have 13 that carry it. One carries about 10 different products, a little bit more. I think it's going to be an uphill battle, so, and they're going to reach they're gonna reach the past third offense, I think. So I just wanna bring your awareness to that, that it's serious, and I'm glad you're taking it seriously, but.
I agree. I think one of the things that I noted from when we had the webinar, when Northampton was talking, it was interesting, which they say, we just go to the smoke shops and say, take it off your shelves, and they immediately take it off the shelves.
Yeah.
We don't have that type of relationship, but I think we need to probably get really serious, and then that way when we do make a request, they will comply with it versus getting a lot of pushback, and then until we actually kind of put the line in the sand and just say, this is what it is, we're never going to get there.
Well, I do have a good relationship with our smoke shop owners. It's the retail stores that are going to have a hard time with this.
Well, if they're so concerned about it.
I know.
So, yeah. See, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 chairs empty over here.
Well, you see how hard it is when they just get a tobacco violation, you know? Now, Franklin Smoke Shop closed for 7 days. Moonlight has closed for 7 days, and they're pretty good about not doing it again, but these retail stores are gonna be a pushback, so.
How many smoke shops are in Franklin?
We have two.
Two? So out of the 13 that are selling those types of products, those are at gas stations, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Those aren't the problem. The smoke shops.
Right? No, it's gas stations
and the retail.
I think it's just every, because there's no regulations, because at least smoke shops, you have to be a certain age get in.
One guy sells, that's 50% of the sales, you said.
Franklin Smoke Shop.
Yeah. He's going to have questions.
I have a quick question, too, if I'm just curious. So, right underneath the fines, where it says separate but simultaneous, violations are treated separate. So, if it was, I guess, say we would go in and it'd be 300, say they had two, 300 plus 750, or 700?
750?
750, it would be.
And that's what I do now with the tobacco violation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can stack them if I want, but what's the sense of stacking them if this is the regulation?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's double duty. So yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so 500, 750, and 1,000, and 300, 500, 750, 1,000, okay.
Yep. And the only other thing that I saw was just on that last page that says Northampton Board of Health, it should say Franklin.
Where did you see it, Kim?
It says Franklin
all the
Board
way
of Health
up.
Right there.
Yeah. No, on the very, very last page, right there.
Third line from the bottom.
From the bottom.
Oh.
On the right hand side.
Okay. Yeah. All right, great.
Jenny.
Where is it?
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good catch, Kim. That's why we
one
have
mistake
you
I love these
pages. I kind of, Jenny helped me with some of the words. Thank you, Jenny.
I think, in all, though, I think you guys did a few very nice job. As a draft for us.
Like they always do.
Of course. I'm so excited about this.
This is a good thing.
But yeah, I think we need to be prepared for next month that we will start here.
I'm expecting to see those chairs filled. If they don't, then I'm.
You don't think they'll come?
I don't think they even know. They're not going to read the public notes.
But they know about some of the other stuff that they came.
Should we make them aware of it so they know?
I don't recommend it.
And why is that?
I think we should.
Why don't you want to tell them?
Because the backlash will be enormous to me, not to you. It'll be a lot. People are addicted to this. This is telling an alcoholic, I'm taking a beer away from you.
Yeah.
You know, this is telling a drug addict that I'm taking your heroin. Just forewarning you, this is coming off the shelf. It'll be a nightmare. And I respect your opinions. It's just my recommendation. You tell me what to do. So if you want me to do
No, I don't want to make it hard on you guys, but I still think they, I don't know.
It's going to be hard
all of a sudden they're going to wake up one morning.
Next month or after.
we vote. I mean,
it'll be definitely after.
It's.
They're gonna wake up in the morning, they're not gonna be able to sell this stuff, and then they're gonna come and see you.
So it's
the same, it's the same thing.
I think we should just be done with it and just make sure that everybody knows what we're doing so that we can just deal with it.
Let them come here and yell at us instead of going to you. I want them here to.
Well, that's when we do a public hearing. We advertise this, announce this change for 2 weeks. So it's like I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make him drink.
Can we physically have them get a notice? The store's saying that we're having a meeting next month and this is the changes that we're going to be.
It's up to you guys. I strongly recommend doing that, but if you guys want me to do that, you just tell me. Say the word.
I think it's better
to inform people so that they know what's going on so that we can, so that they also understand what we can have question and answer. I want to hear what their thoughts are. They can hear what our thoughts are and what our decisions are going to be.
But I just think
that that's the mutual respect, and I think that that's how we
get it from people, not just hoping
that nobody will listen maybe, and will just do it, and then there'll be the backlash. Let's just get it right up front.
Yeah, let's be up front with it.
I agree and I disagree. Because I agree in the sense of education is important. On the flip side, I also think that as business owners, it's their responsibility to keep up with this and to be able, we follow open meeting law, we publish it, people are informed, and it's their responsibility to be able to follow that.
And it says in the public, when I advertise the synopsis of the change, that it also says you can pick up a draft of the regulation at the office. And we've had a few with tobacco have come in. They read the legal notices. I don't know where we post it anymore because it's not in the newspaper, but when we post it on
the website.
But you tell me what to do and I'll put it in the minutes.
I don't want to make it hard on you guys in the office. I understand where you're coming from. You feel like they're going to come rushing into the office and give you guys a hard time.
What if it was just?
I don't want to do that, but on the other hand, I really think that we have to tell them. I mean, I just don't want one day they wake up and say, oh, we can't sell this no more. Then they're going to come and.
Well, that's what the public notice is for. That's what the public hearing notice is for. It's a synopsis of what the change is.
Is it something as a compromise? Because there's probably more people who listen to the town council minutes and meetings of doing a citizen's comment there to say that we are addressing this.
That's another way to do it.
I do want to check with Mark, though, about...
He just walked by.
He did. Because
go down there and get him.
Because open meeting law... I have to follow the 2-week advertisement.
Yeah.
I have to do the synopsis. I have to do all of that. Is that in lieu of what you
no. In addition to. Because there's a fair amount of people, only because I've done citizen comments, that people come up to me that were not in the council chambers that go, Kim, you just said this. And I went, oh. So I think there's more people who actually actively follow that. Especially if we do one when they're talking about the budget. Everyone's going to be on that one. That might be a good one. And just make an announcement that the Board of Health is actually going to be addressing this, not go into any detail. But if you want a copy, stop by and get it.
That's what I was
saying. And our hearing will be on this date.
And that's the only date that you're able to discuss this. You can't.
And then we're being transparent.
That's fine.
It's not necessarily
no conversations, no phone calls. You just politely say that we will be having an open meeting. You are welcome to be there. Please come. But I cannot discuss this outside of an open meeting.
Right.
Just like we can't.
Right.
You should.
Don't call us at the office. We can't discuss it.
That should also be in the notice.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
There should be people calling. But just say, we can only discuss it at the open meeting. We'll answer all your questions at that time. You're welcome to come.
So is that what the board wants for Kim to announce?
you're in the process of doing that, because it's, you know, like town council meetings every 2 weeks that we do it at the same time, then it's all being brought up at the same time.
Yeah, because this week I'll write up the synopsis and then Jenny will post it next week for 2 weeks straight. So if I could just ask you when you announce this, if you would read the entire, right, the entire title.
Yes, whatever you, well, and then whatever you guys want, if you want to write me a script, happy to read the script. Makes it easier for me.
No, I think if you say that there'll be a public hearing on regulating, prohibiting whatever, prohibiting the infrastructure sale, just like read this perfectly, then that, I think, is acceptable. Don't add the article because the article's not enacted yet.
Yep. I'll basically say regulation of the town of Franklin Board of Health prohibiting the manufacturing, sale, distribution of synthetically derived
cannabinoids.
Synthetically derived kratom and unregulated novel intoxicating products.
In but see, that's a whole list, and I think that they have to be listed separately. I don't know. What are you prepared to do that? I mean, all the others.
Unregulated novel intoxicating.
Because
really,
that's a list of stuff, and so which ones
I don't
know. Well, but she actually has it in here in terms of what her definition is. On the second page, going continuing on to the third page on the very bottom. So any substance, compound, or mixture, whether natural, synthetic, or semi-synthetic, that is intended for human consumption or ingestion, inhalation, absorption, or any other method of introduction into the human body that has psychoactive, intoxicating, or mood-altering effects, is not approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for such use, and is not otherwise regulated or scheduled under Massachusetts or federal law. This definition includes, but is not limited to, novel.
Cannabinoid.
Synthetic opioids, synthetic stimulants, synthetic hallucinogens, and any chemical analogs or derivatives thereof, except for those lawfully prescribed or other. So I think we have our definition.
I think that's very broad. I think it would be helpful we need to actually list specifically.
The only other product I know is that
the bath salts.
Bath salts, nitrous oxide canisters.
In the mushroom, what is it? Psychedelic mushroom candy.
Yeah.
But I thought we were using that language as an umbrella over all of these products, so I don't see how we can list them.
Because we're not limiting it to it, so we won't have to necessarily change our regs. If something brand novel comes out, it'll still be covered.
I understand, but if you're in, we could just write those things we know. It does have to be an umbrella that has all this stuff, but those specific things.
Like the bath salts,
the nitrous.
Could you do like
oxide
parentheses, for example, and list some of the things that we have now, or
including but not limited to.
And we have that list that came from that webinar that I would include all of them.
Yeah. Zombie bath salts. Psychedelic mushrooms.
Yeah.
Nitrous oxide. We have the synthetic.
I don't know if I have those slides. Did they send us those slides?
They did not, but I took a picture. I will
send it
text it to you.
Yeah. I might have done it too. I might hold on.
I was
I
just going to go look.
I didn't, but.
All right. Any other discussion? So, do we need to make a motion in order to do what we said we're going to do, or are we?
It's just a discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have it. I took a picture of it too, Kim.
Awesome.
Yeah. Zombie bath salts.
So, you are going to say something at the next meeting?
Well, I need to know when you're going to be posting it, and then I'm going to try and go to whatever town meeting is within that two-week period.
We'll post it Monday.
We'll post it Monday.
Oh, can we post it Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll
whatever you want, right?
Next week.
Okay.
So is there a meeting next Wednesday?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm not here on Monday.
All right, so the week after you'll be all set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you send us the revised copy with the changes we did ahead of time, so we can make sure that we have it?
I might not be here on Monday.
What? In the synopsis or in the regulation, you want me to list out the bath salts? Because it says including but not limited to.
I think it should be in the regulation.
It should be in the regulation, okay.
But I you should also say, but not limited to.
I think it says that, though. I just want to clarify.
We could use the, instead of bath salts, just use the word.
Oh, yeah, the definition includes, but is not limited to.
Yeah, it already says that. Do you want me to put in those four under the unregulated novel intoxicating products? Do you want me to have them specifically? Or just in the synopsis that I have to advertise?
I would put it under unregulated novel intoxicating products. Because that's where I would probably look.
Okay, so would I'll do that, and this definition includes but is not limited to. Mm-hmm. Add it there.
Yes.
Okay. Such as, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That includes that candy with the mushrooms and stuff.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So we change the fine violation. You want me to add that to the regulation, add it to the synopsis, talk about it at the town council meeting, and then we'll hold our public hearing in the May meeting.
And I'll tell them the date of our public hearing, our room, which is up here.
Yeah, no, I have to do all that anyways, but I'll send the revamp, so if you guys want to change the wording or fix anything, it'll all be done.
It'll be awesome. All
Thank right. you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, so we had asked about an update on the warming and cooling shelters in Franklin, and I guess now that things have closed down on Sundays, like this, so I know in the past the warming shelters and the cooling shelters have pretty much been either the library or the senior center, but the senior center is not open at all on weekends, and the library is now closed on Sundays. So then the question is, and just came off of a very brutal winter, in which I know a local warming shelter was actually open for entire weekends, which was unheard of before. Where would an appropriate place be for someone who needed a warming shelter or a cooling shelter on a Sunday or in the evening when things close, and if maybe we can look into that? And I say that only because I was at a interfaith council meeting, and they're saying, oh yes, well, we just send them to so-and-so. I'm going, but they're not open. Don't send them to some place where they're not open, because that doesn't help. So if we can maybe come up with a better, this is what the town's plan is, we can maybe communicate this to the appropriate people so that it can go to them.
Can we get private places to open their arms, like churches?
I don't know the answer to that.
So I think first I'm going to start with the fire department, because they're open 24/7. I can talk to the chief about that. What do you think?
What do they have at the fire department that they could go to?
Yeah, the bays, they, I don't know. There's a couple of fire departments. There's a conference room in there, but that's too small.
They may not want all those people. There's a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a training room, but it's like the size of like.
But they have such locked doors.
Yeah. It's hard to get in because I left my phone in there one time and had to like
be able
to
wait. What about New England Chapel?
I'm not sure they would be willing because someone has to be there with them, and that's not necessarily manned. And we did have a problem at one point in time in which people were living in our woods.
All right, well, let me do a little digging, okay? And then I'll put it back on the agenda, if that's okay.
That would be awesome.
Well, if there was an emergency such as, like, a really heated
We'd open up our Franklin High School.
Or the town, you know, town hall?
No, Franklin High School. That's our first emergency site, and then our second is the senior center. Similar to when we had the COVID vaccines, right? We opened up the high school. We practiced our mock emergency dispensers.
Yep. So.
It was easier with the field house to have that.
Oh, really?
Big space.
Yeah.
To try. Oh.
Oh, what?
Try and hit start.
Start?
Try, yeah. There you go.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So I kind of based this off of a couple people's feedback. Like Alicia was saying that she kind of wanted like an overview of what you look for. And I know we said trends, so I kind of combined it into an overview with everything. So we'll go over that.
Just tell me when. Next slide, please.
Next slide. So starting with, you know, the basics, we have the three different kinds that we'll go in for. So the routine ones are the ones I'm always doing. Routine, it's twice a year. They're all unannounced. And that's, you know, twice a year the minimum, and unless we get called in for any other type of complaint or anything, two per year is the standard that we're at. And that covers, that's a comprehensive inspection that covers everything.
Are they approximately 6 months apart or?
Yep. And then the re-inspections are for any violations we see during the routine inspection that we go, would go back in kind of just to look at, unless anything crazy was happening, we'd kind of look at those specific corrective actions that they took. And those timelines of going back in can vary from how serious the violations are. And then, I just realized the numbers are messed up in the corner there, but that's okay. Foodborne illness, obviously, if we get a call or someone reports it, we either get that from, I think Alicia's talked about this, we either get that from someone going to a doctor's office, getting tested and confirmed foodborne illness, we'll get that through Maven. The other ones might come from, like, the report my meal we were showing you, or like a phone call. We'll investigate it either way. It might look a little different depending confirmed or not, but we'll go in and do that. And it's all based on, like, the FDA, the food code, so there's kind of a standardized list of what we're looking for that we go through, and we'll get into that in some of the other slides. You can go to the next one. Thank you.
I'm sorry about this. I don't know how to get rid of it.
That's okay. I kind of know what it says under there. So.
Okay.
And then, yeah, the different violations we're looking at, some of them ranging more serious than others. This is what the code refers to them as. So we have priority. Those are the ones, like, if someone is not washing their hands after handling raw meat and then handling, like, ready-to-eat food, it's different things that are going to spread foodborne illness the most, a direct contribution. And there's another slide on that later. The other ones are priority foundation. Those are like an example of that, maybe not having hand soap at a hand sink, so that they're not, like, they're technically not able to properly wash their hands there, because then you know they're not, and then it can transfer to a foodborne illness. Core violations are more like if maybe the ceiling's cracked, something like that. So other things kind of around like the facility that you're looking at or the establishment that you're looking at.
So if they have improper storage of food, where would that fall in your...
That could be under priority, depending, yeah, improper, if it's raw above ready to eat or different types of allergens above other, like anything that could cross-contaminate, then it would be priority.
Okay. You can go to the next one.
So this is kind of what I was just talking about, like these are the top five that do contribute to foodborne illness, so these would all be priority. We're taking temperatures of the food, we're making sure they're in the proper temperature range. If they're out of temperature, that's a major indicator that someone can get really sick, like salmonella. Poor health and hygiene, that's kind of what I was just discussing on, like, not washing hands. If employees are coming to work sick, so we require illness policy and making sure all the employees are aware to report their different symptoms. And they have to be, I always get the two confused, restricted, excluded from work if they're not feeling good. Cross-contamination is, again, what we just said, the storage, and there's a bunch of different kinds of cross-contamination there, but that's one that'll pass. Bacteria along really quickly, another one like using the same cutting board for raw and then not washing it, not sanitizing it properly, and then
I think the last one there is failure to cook the foods to internal temperature, which is kind of similar to the first one. Just
is there a problem with, like, say, the supermarkets and they have the meals that they cook? Is there a time limit that the food can be out before they need to discard it?
4 hours.
4 hours?
Well, it depends. If we're using time as a temperature control like pizza, it'll be 2 hours.
Right. So there's different kind of like nuances there. They could have a HACCP plan and hold it longer if it's something like pizza or something. So yeah, it kind of depends.
And then within the 4 hours, they have 4 hours to get to temperature.
To temperature, yeah. So they can put it back in technically. Yeah.
When you do your test, when you go in there, do you look for all these things as far as like you put temperature gauges into the cabinets and all that?
Yeah. Yeah, thermometers, whether it's like an infrared or if they're cooking or something like in a flip top or something, then we're sticking it.
That's part of the whole.
Yeah, yeah. Usually we do like one from each. Like if it's a flip top, I'll do like one or two in there underneath. So.
Apparently you can't tell whether they're washing their hands or not.
You observe. Yeah, I get into that a little in a minute, but you kind of like, we're observing like their full practice. And yeah, sometimes it's hard because they know you're there. Mm-hmm. So like, are they going to perform? Like, probably, but sometimes no, so you'd be surprised. So,
so food that is cooked and put out, it can be out for how long?
Food that's cooked, like for example,
like ready
what?
To eat food, like at like.
Well, are you talking buffet or are you talking like?
It's there's
like at a
like at the seams,
but they're holding it at. They're holding it.
Oh, but they're
they
holding
can
it at
hold
the proper
it at proper temperature.
Okay,
then it's
gotcha.
Okay.
How long can that food sit under that light?
Like not held at temperature.
Well, it needs to be at proper temperature. Yeah. So
how long can it stay like that?
At proper temperature, it can stay
4 hours.
4 hours.
Four
at proper temperature. Yeah.
And then it has to be removed and
thrown away.
Yeah.
Do we have any buffets in front of
you? Good on this one.
Well, yeah, they have it.
Is some of the
Shaw's has it.
All day.
Oh, the big one.
I call that one the supermarket
out there.
This is a buffet.
Well, that's kind of a buffet.
It's a buffet.
You can go there and pick your own.
There's a lot of stuff.
Can't have multiple conversations.
Yeah. I'm just thinking in my head, and I can't hear.
Some of this we jumped ahead on a little, but it's kind of the same. Other stuff. I think it was who just asked the question. Am I watching like the whole practice? So we're looking at like, is there hair tied back properly? Are they wearing gloves when they're handling food? Are they washing their hands for their, not only are they just going over there doing this the right amount of time, making sure the hand sinks are stocked with everything. I touched on like the illness policy, other facility standard like pest control. We're looking for any evidence of pests when we're in there. Honestly, the food code and
yeah,
I tried to condense it, but really it's the food code's massive, and it's you see what you see when you're in there. You try and hit everything.
And how long does it usually take to do the whole?
Depends where you are. Like a full with a community, like three, I guess, or like a full restaurant will take maybe an hour.
It depends how bad it is.
Depends how bad it is, and then like maybe a small, but anywhere could take an hour. Like I guess you could go into Wendy's and you expect it to maybe be a half hour, but it could easily be an hour.
Yeah, and grocery
stores are long.
But you definitely, they have no idea you're coming.
No.
Okay.
For the most part, right? Schools sometimes not, but.
Yeah. We come unannounced.
Yeah, unannounced.
Next one?
Yep, I think the bottom line there just says like physical condition, like general sanitation, that type of stuff. And then Massachusetts, we do these three, well, for most food establishments, there's some exemptions, but per shift, everyone has to have one person certified in like ServSafe Food Protection Manager course. Person in charge also in allergen awareness course, and someone with their choke safe on staff at all times. Those three are the certifications we check for. Yeah, you're good. This is just general overview of the temperatures that I'm checking for. Kind of what we were talking about, what they need to restore at and stuff. So we can send you the slides too if we didn't already, but
that would be awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. general. If you have questions, or you can go to the next slide, either one. And then these are the recent trends. This is kind of what I see often. It is kind of like the length of the hand washing, not changing their gloves enough. Like if they're moving from one task to another, you'd see it more than you think. They need to like be washing their hands in between, and they're just switching, you know, switching out their gloves. Another big one is lack of date marking on prepared foods. So anything like held in a refrigerator more than 24 hours needs to just have a opened date so that they know. I'm losing my train of thought. Sorry. To reduce the risk of foodborne illness. Another big one, I see a lot of confusion with this one. Sanitizer, just how there's... Is there three? Or I think there's more, but there's three kind of types of sanitizer you see often. And each one of them has test strips, so they have to be testing the sanitizer to make sure it's working properly, essentially, like at the proper concentration. But there's a bunch of different kinds, and I find that establishments usually have a lot of questions surrounding it. So that's one that I cite a decent amount. And then the other one that I'm always seeing is just hand and wrist jewelry. They're always having like the Apple Watch, or you can only have the plain wedding band. So people will have other types of rings or bracelets and that type of stuff. I see that often. And then kind of how we handle everything. There can be, we could, is that in our finding?
Finding is in...
it's more of like, I feel like we lean more towards the closure.
I've never fined anyone.
Some towns differ.
Non-criminal disposition.
Yeah.
Some towns we basically go back and we do a re-inspection. We make sure that all the violations are abated. If they're not, then we threaten to bring them before you, or threaten to close them until further notice, which we've done several times.
Yeah, and if they continue to happen, then it would be a conversation of
revocation. In front of the board.
Yes, of course. I think that was mostly it, unless you had any other questions, but that was kind of the big... It's a lot, so I tried to shove it all in there, but I can always,
you're
if you have specific questions.
You're one person going in and doing all this, right?
Yeah.
That is a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot to look for.
Yeah, and by the end of the day, you're
probably tired.
That's
exhausted.
Awesome.
Ginny does the grocery stores and the sushi restaurants.
Like the ethnic restaurants.
Yeah.
I do all the ethnic restaurants.
just over the years of me doing my work, I've seen so much, and one of the things that I've always been bothered by is the infestation of the mice and stuff. It just drives me up a wall when I go into a restaurant.
We get calls.
Even the supermarkets. And I guess there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, they have to have a pest management.
Yeah.
They have a pest management.
So as long as they
have
adequate pest management that they're trying to keep up with that.
Still gonna get it.
Well, any facility with a loading dock is a problem, right? As the doors are open.
Yep.
And we have some big facilities here that are struggling. But what we do, we have a problem with a facility that probably over the past 6 months. Mm. So we get their pest control inspection reports every week, and we go over them, and I determine whether the pest control company is maintaining the problem, the establishment's not doing their job. So I mean, I call right away. I want to know what they're doing, how they handle it, what's their plan moving forward. So we just don't say, they got a loading dock, the mice are going to come in.
Or they have pest control, you're good. No.
Yeah, no.
It's more like doubling down on how severe the problem is, what is pest control doing, what are they saying they're doing their reports.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest peeves when I see these places. Some of them just...
Yeah. So we're on it with stuff like that. We know that.
Great.
Steve, did you want to ask me something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, through the chair, if I may. I recall discussion moving to a risk-based inspection process. It doesn't sound like that happened.
I got approval from the state, and we started implementing it, but person who the consultant, food consultant that was prepared to do this for me, moved on from our towns. So what's a risk-based? Risk-based is 1 through 4, 4 being probably sushi places, nursing homes, the more vulnerable populations, and 1 would be retail stores or Dunkin' Donuts. And they'd be done once a year, or twice a year, or 3 times a year, or 4 times a year, and it was really an accomplishment that I achieved this permission from the state, and I wasn't able to implement it due to staff. So we're out there doing twice a year, back
for
to
everyone.
That's what is
that's like the
minimum requirement is. Yeah, I might get there again someday if I get more staff, but nonetheless, we're still on.
I think you guys are doing a great job. The three of you doing this whole town. Yes.
That's amazing.
You're awesome.
Well, excellent.
Well, we know that you do.
I'm not going to
restaurant. Yeah, but you sent me the.
I do, and I always feel bad when I have to send
She's
her
like,
something
sorry.
To him. Like, sorry.
It's a hard job.
Yeah. All right, in the interest of time, you want to get going with the
yep.
shade reports?
So,
Carrie, you go
Carrie.
First?
Yep.
So this is just what the month has looked like. So there was 28 biannual inspections, so those are the routine ones. There were 2 re-inspections and 2 foodborne illness inspections. One housing. I think that was it, mostly focused on food. And then there was a lot of meetings this past month. Kratom one we were on, some MHOA, just keeping busy learning. pretty standard.
The 2 foodborne illness inspections, did you find anything of concern? Or I know you guys go, if there's a report, was there?
Neither of them were confirmed, if I remember correctly.
So the one we were the state wanted us, because there were 2 people got sick in one place that's considered
an outbreak.
Yeah.
So Carrie and I went to the facility. The only thing that I changed was they were not washing, rinsing, and sanitizing their blenders in between
each,
so they were rinsing.
Okay.
And so I changed that policy. I said, put a note on for your staff and just retrain them that rinsing is not enough to get rid of bacteria, salmonella, or was it campy or salmonella?
It was. There was
no confirmed.
Nothing
confirmed. They thought salmonella,
but it was multiple people sick.
Yeah.
1 person went to the hospital. They didn't do any testing.
Yeah, but they did do the. Report by mail.
Yeah, that's how we found out about it.
Yeah,
yes, and then the other one was a reported case of someone who does not live in town who ate at many restaurants, one of which was in Franklin.
Yeah. And that one we didn't.
It didn't seem like it was going to be it, but we have to.
Really do.
Mm-hmm. That was good that came out of that another one though. It was something to implement, and we'll check.
Yeah, and for something like that, if there's an outbreak, I'll go to.
When you say blenders, you're talking about like there's some juice places here. Are they supposed to wash those things every time they blend something?
Now they are.
Oh, okay.
Well, think about even if someone has like an allergy. That was my, an allergy.
Well, with a franchise, they have their own policy. The Board of Health has the authority to change their policy. And in this case, I found, and Carrie did too, that made sense. That, allergy
foodborne.
I'm sure they're not going to be happy about it, but I really don't care.
Yeah, bars do the same thing. They mix drinks in those blenders too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And bars are tricky because not all of them have a 3-bay. Most of them have dishwashers, so they probably are.
Yeah, they
this product at this particular place comes in from another distributor already cut and packaged. Now, you know, we don't know, as we all know, like a cantaloupe, if that's not washed properly and a knife goes through it, that's salmonella poison right there, then and there. I don't know what the practice is at the facility that's cutting and packaging this fruit. I don't know.
That's so hard to catch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can only do my part here on this end, right? So
yep. And it's hard. About asking like a lot of questions too, but sometimes you still can't.
Yeah.
How would we know?
Yeah, you just, it's so hard to catch. Yeah.
Only if like a bigger outbreak happens and people were all eating at the same place with the same product would be like testing. The only way to.
Well, like remember Chipotle
or testing.
They had a massive outbreak and that was. Or Taco, no.
I remember we had a cucumber one.
Yeah.
The cucumber, was it salmonella?
Yeah. You just never know.
They're like, oh, you ate a cucumber. You're linked to that.
All right, Alicia, we got a few more minutes. Do you
want to
do yours?
Yep, so for communicable diseases, for COVID-19, for the month of March, and I got this data on the 26th, so it's subject to change. During the week of 3-8 to 3-14, there were 650 confirmed COVID cases and 57 probable in Massachusetts. And for March, we only had 18 in Franklin versus 29 in February. Respiratory illnesses for MassDPH from March 8th to the 14th, an estimated 12.4% of emergency room visits were related to acute respiratory disease. It was very low for COVID, low for influenza, and also low for RSV. Current estimated influenza-like illness activity is moderate right now in Massachusetts. And in the month of March, Franklin had only 22 reported flu cases. And I have the breakdowns. In the two graphs, one's just showing the decline of flu cases we've had, and then the age groups where, as you see, the ages 5 to 19 took up most of it, 45% of the cases that were positive this past month. Central Park Terrace, I was there on the 18th to do the brain games with them, blood pressure and blood sugar. Continuing doing biweekly and monthly local Board of Health webinars. I went to the FCAP meeting on the 4th at the police station, CPR training and certification for the DPW staff on 3-3 and 3-5, continuing with my regional connection group on the 9th. We did the Creighton webinar on the 11th, my student wellness committee at Franklin High School on the 17th, and I did a hands-only CPR class for community members on 3, hopefully that's 26. I add an extra thing. I didn't go to the 30th, on the 30th, the TV webinar because I was out sick, so I'm gonna have to erase that. And then I taught a CPR class for Tri-County students on the 31st for their legal class, so we had like 16 students. And then I'm continuing doing my nursing hours on Thursdays at the Senior Center, and then still planning heavily the Women's Health Expo that's going to be happening on May 20th.
Do you know how many vendors we have?
I think
right
we're
now?
Up to like 15 or 16 now.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting there. Awesome.
Yep.
I'm good. Would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
Oh, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second it.
I second it.
Any discussion? Jeff, how do you vote?
Yes.
Kim
Bolstock.
We are adjourned.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.